This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What is going on, everybody? It is Thursday, November 14th, and that means it's a Thursday. We're at the Treasure Chest Casino. Me and Mike Dottiglia, the Game Bar and Grill. Stop by, come out, hang out, do some, have some grub here while you're gambling. And as we get ready for Thursday night football tonight, the Philadelphia Eagles and Washington Commanders take the stage to open Week 11. And boy, do we have a ton of talk about to this evening from NFL football with the Saints. Also going to get some Browns coverage in the 6 o'clock hour. Mary Kay Cabot, who covers the Browns for Cleveland.com. The 5 o'clock hour, get a little boxing in. Mike Coppinger, ESPN Boxing Insider, help us preview Tyson versus Jake Paul on Friday. And then in this hour, after our first break, we'll be talking to Mike Triplett covering the Saints for NewOrleansFootball.com. And also Maddie Hudak after that in the at 4:40. A little Tulane preview. She's a sideline reporter for the Green Wave and also host of Before the Whistle podcast. Big game for the Greenies. Tulane taking on the midshipmen at Navy.
Yeah, Navy's a good football team. And, man, their quarterback, Blake Harvath, man, he's a really good football player. Now, he's been banged up the last couple of weeks, but Harvath can play. And he is really a talented guy. And they a little bit unconventional from other Navy teams because they throw the football a little bit more than we've seen in the past. So Tulane get ready again in talking to Coach Sumrall. He pointed out, because I asked him about that third down. He was like, Mike, that's absolutely true. But the key is the first down, to stop them there, to force them into long distance situations on third down that they might have to throw it. You know, and so that's not their forte.
Right.
It'll be – because, man, you don't play a team like that often.
Yeah.
You don't see it, and so it's to get your team adjusted to that option and how they run it. It's unique. And they wanted the three or four teams that run it in college football.
I hate to use the baseball analogy for football, but I feel like that hiring for Tulane to replace Willie Fritz with John Sumrall, man, what a home run right there. He is the guy, and I love him.
So you know what that means. They got other people that's going to be after
loving
coach.
Him too, right.
But, you couldn't have picked a better guy to take over for Coach Fritz. And Coach Sumrall is – you can tell, defensive-oriented guy.
But yeah.
How he's handled that offense with a redshirt freshman quarterback.
Unbelievable.
Is really impressive. And, if I'm Darian, I can just turn around and hand that ball to Makai Hughes. Oh, you got it. You take over, so to speak.
Mike, looking at the injury report today, came out for the second time. Yesterday's initial report, not much has changed for the black and gold, except for
Kool-Aid.
Saints corner Kool-Aid McKinstry, and also you had safety Jordan Hawkins. They've been upgraded to full, so positive news there. Still not practicing. Guard Lucas Patrick, linebacker Pete Werner, and also running back Jamal Williams. Pete Werner dealing with a hand issue, really a big question mark for Sunday against the Browns.
I don't think he's going to play.
Yeah, unfortunate
isn't,
there.
Isn't that similar to what they dealt with Willie Gay?
Right.
Just a few weeks back. And that part is tough because that combination of him and DeMario really, they work together so smoothly. And one thing, Pete Werner is one hell of a football player. He's a good player in this league. And so, you know, he's one of the few under 27s. You know, he could start for more than 10 or 12 teams in this league. He's that good of a player.
Another guy, pretty good, Mike, you talk about a lot, Eric McCoy, limited for a second straight day, but Coach Rizzi did mention that both him and Kool-Aid were on the positive track. You know, things are going well for them, and it looks like we should have, or the Saints, I should say, should have Eric McCoy back at center for Sunday.
He can start for every team in the NFL. I don't care if it's center, guard. No, Eric McCoy, he is your one stud player. And to get him back, this offense has never run the same since Eric McCoy went down. It was early in the Eagles game. And it's been in the skid ever since. So getting him back is huge. And also, too, and we'll talk to Tripp about it, the development of Trevor Penning over the last couple of weeks. He's played well. And
an underrated positive we don't talk
and
much
so
about.
So you got to give him his props because we was on him when he stunk.
For sure, right.
So you got to give him his props here. And so and that was never a question about his run blocking. It was all about pass protection. And then watching him on film, you can tell a difference. He's delivering the blows instead of taking them. And I got to give John Benton, Rick Dennison, Jari Evans a lot of credit there in coaching him up. You know you had some talent there. Also, too, is to give him some confidence, which he completely lost last year.
For sure.
Doug Marrone didn't do a good job with him.
No,
bottom line.
Thankfully, that confidence looks like it's back, and hopefully we continue to see positive play out of him going forward. And you haven't mentioned his name much or Taliese Fuaga, and obviously with offensive linemen, that's always a good thing if you're not talking about him.
That's A-Bear line.
Right, exactly. I've learned well from my elders.
Yeah, that's an A-Bear line.
We are taking a break. When we get back, we'll get into more Saints talk with Mike Triplett of New Orleans.football. When we get back right after this at the Treasure Chest Casino here on WWL Sports Talk. Welcome back into Sports Talk. We are inside the game, bar and grill at the Treasure Chest Casino, getting our tickets ready for Thursday night football and obviously Sunday when the Saints are hosting the Cleveland Browns. Happy to welcome in Mike Triplett, who covers the Saints for NewOrleans.football. Mike, how you been doing, man? Been too long.
Yeah, how are you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
Appreciate your time. I know you said you had a basketball practice today. Hope the Pelicans are calling you up, huh?
No, but not me, but maybe my daughter any day now. She's 9, but she stays relatively healthy.
Well, Mike, you better stay away from that court. Everybody get that court, man. You get hurt. That's the way I look at it. Mike, when you look at this football team, and maybe the good sign down the stretch is that the majority of your offensive line is getting healthy. With Eric McCoy back, and his team has not run the same. And it goes to show the importance of the center position. I've been trying to tell Steve that for years. He finally understands now. He's a college boy. Don't know nothing about the real world. But getting Eric back, and your thoughts on what he brings to the table, because he's the one stud player. He could start for any team in the NFL right now, either at center or at guard.
That's a really good point. I mean, if we're looking at guys who, if healthy, could make the Pro Bowl, could make an All-Pro team, he's on the short list for this team. He might be number one, to be honest with you. Rashid Shaheed is a returner. A few other guys, DeMario Davis, obviously, but has been doing that for years. But there's no doubt about it, and I just think he's been more appreciated than ever before while being gone. And, yeah, you're right. It's not just him. It's that the entire offensive line is going to be intact. And in turn, then, we can see this offense as it was supposed to look. That was the story of the entire offseason, the story of the entire year. What's this offense going to look like? What can they do? It's done wonders for Alvin Kamara, even with some injuries around there across the offensive line. But, I mean, it's just so unfortunate that, all right, they get Eric McCoy back. And he was kind of secretly one of the top five players on this team, maybe more than we appreciate it. But they're not going to get Chris Olave back. They're not going to get Rashid Shaheed back. They're never going to have Marshawn Lattimore back. So we're never going to see this team completely intact this year.
You look at it, I want to watch the matchup because we sort of bragged about him a little bit. And I think he has certainly made progress with Trevor Penning at the right tackle position. Man, you got to give John Benton and Rick Dennison, Jari Evans a lot of credit for helping him as a player. He lost complete confidence last year. But when I watch him on film, he's much better balanced. You know, he's striking the opponent instead of taking it and sort of getting pushed back. We never had a question about his run blocking skills. It was always about pass protection. But look who he goes up against this week. Myles Garrett. And so, man, you're talking about, okay, I've gotten a couple of really good grades here. Now, all of a sudden, man, you're going to slip this surprise test on me. It's Myles Garrett, because he's one of the elite players in the NFL.
No, look, Trevor Penning has, you know, if we had said before the season starts the Saints are 3-7, I think we all would have thought, oh, no, you know, Trevor Penning didn't work out, and it's been anything but the case. Now, he's still a work in progress. I mean, I agree from what we saw reviewing the game. I thought this was probably his best game ever, this last game. But just 2 weeks ago, I thought he showed some warts. Denver game certainly showed some warts. So he's still a work in progress. But it's just good to be having this conversation about progress, because it was so stunted before for a number of reasons. His confidence, getting pulled from the lineup, injuries. Now he's playing every snap. He's getting better along the way. He's kind of doing it in the shadows a little bit. Other things have gotten more attention than him, so he can just learn. And, I mean, there's still room to upgrade there. I don't know if he'll ever live up to first-round potential, but it just doesn't feel like it's derailing this team, and it feels like he can be a part of this team now for going into the future. And that's just that's huge. Like I always said, maybe a realistic comp could be like, you know, Cesar Ruiz or Andres Pete, who got off to slow starts in their career. I don't know if he'll even reach that level, but it'd be great if he could.
Mike, we can break down all these positions. You know what it comes down to, Sunday? Derek Carr versus Jameis Winston. Which one gonna make the biggest mistake? Because it's not about the big play. I think it's more the big mistake. And, okay, I think Cleveland fans, I think they waited a little bit too long to pull Deshaun Watson. You could tell. Yeah. Like, I don't remember in my lifetime in covering the NFL a guy that was that good to hit the skids that fast. And, okay, that,
wild.
It's an unbelievable spot for him. But you could tell he almost like he's got nothing left in the football tank. And I think they should have pulled him weeks before, but I get it. When you're paying him that kind of money, you got to give it, and sometimes the owner gets involved too there. And you saw the good and the bad, Jameis. And sometimes you see it all in the same series, because he'll throw a pass, you say, wow, man, look at that throw. Tight window, right on target, and then the next one he sails it and it's intercepted. And Derek Carr, you could say the same thing about him.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually made the comment a few times that Derek Carr has more Jameis in him than I think people realize. He loves to hunt for that deep ball. Like, he just licks his chops, and he really wants to find it, and he knows what a game-changer it is. Carr obviously doesn't turn it over as much as Jameis, though. It doesn't exactly match with everything we know about Carr. I'm kind of surprised that he's kind of a single-digit interception guy every year, because he does love to go big play hunting sometimes. But, with Jameis, I mean, no one is going to give you more opportunities as a defense. And even when he won AFC Player of the Week 2 years ago, he was giving opportunities to the Ravens at interceptions, and they were dropping them. So that is one thing that's never going to change about Jameis. He is going to give the Saints a few chances, but he's also going to be going up against a secondary that doesn't have Marshawn Lattimore. It looks like Kool-Aid McKinstry will be back. That's good. But no Paulson Adebo, obviously, for the rest of the year. So it's not going to be strength on strength. And he's going to have opportunities to hit plays on them, too. They've held up surprisingly well without Adebo, without McKinstry for a while, now without Lattimore. But he's going to air it out there and try to find some holes in that secondary, no question about it.
Trip, when I look at this team, they've had difficulties matching up against really athletic tight ends, and you got one this weekend with David Njoku.
Sure,
man, and he's a big target guy. He's not a small guy. He's a big man that'll go over that middle and make that tough catch. And so I think, you know, past history tells you that this team has struggled matching up against a very talented athletic tight end. So if you're a fantasy football owner, make sure you don't dump him this week.
Well, except for the weird thing is they've always kept Kyle Pitts in check of the Falcons. He made that incredible catch last week, but he hasn't burned them very much over the years, which is kind of interesting. But yeah, and I think that's going to be Cleveland's go-to guy, too, after they traded Amari Cooper. They've got some talented receivers. Cedric Tillman's been coming on lately for them, but Njoku might be their go-to guy among all their pass catchers there. So that is definitely a matchup to look out for. And if Pete Werner isn't able to play, which is looking a little dicey right now, that makes that matchup all the more scary.
Looking at this Browns run game, Mike, that's what scares me the most going into the matchup, just because the Saints have been so awful. I've seen those running lanes look like clear alleyways for folks. And obviously, Nick Chubb's not the same guy anymore, and I know he's getting just back in the flow with Cleveland, but him and the pairing of Jerome Ford is kind of scary for me going into this matchup in the Dome.
But the 2022 Nick Chubb would have really scared me.
For sure.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. But he's going to be coming off the bye week now. So, you know, he got to shake off a little rust, and then he got some recovery time. I think that'll be a real challenge, no doubt about it. I mean, this is a game I think the Saints can win, but there are a few points. I mean, starting with Myles Garrett that you mentioned earlier. But, yeah, absolutely stopping the run. I mean, I think you'd have to sit down for a long time to really order the things that have derailed the Saints season most this year. But the disappearance of their run defense is high on the list. And that's something that, no Pete Werner could hurt that. I was going to say they haven't had a ton of injuries in the front seven this year. And that hasn't been the number one reason why. So, the defensive lineman, DeMario Davis and Willie Gay, if Pete Werner can't play, they're really going to have to step up, because they should be playing better in that area than they have been this year.
Mike, one thing for sure, in this offseason, they have to address defensive tackle. I don't care if you use a first-round pick on Brian Brisset. You got to get a run stuffer at defensive tackle, because you are getting gashed right up the middle. That has to be, on defense, number one priority for them.
Oh, man. Wait in line, though? I mean, could we not say that about 11 positions? I mean, it's really unfortunate right now, but I don't think there's a position on the roster that you can't put a high priority on. I still think left tackle. I still think defensive end. Safety, maybe another corner since Marshawn's not coming back. Receiver, because of the questions now with Olave and Shaheed. Quarterback, of course. Running back. I mean, unfortunately, more than in a long time around here, they kind of need one more guy at every position. But you are right, defensive tackle's high on that list.
Mike, always appreciate your time. Thanks for making it for us today. Have a good one, man.
Thank you, Tripp.
Thank you, guys.
Mike Tripoli covers the Saints for NewOrleans.football. Check out all his great work there. We're going to take a break. When we get back, talking a little Tulane Green Wave, the sideline reporter Maddie Hudak will join us right after this. We're at the Treasure Chest Casino on Sports Talk till 7 o'clock. That's when Thursday Night Football will take over right here on WWL.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here on Sports Talk at the Treasure Chest Casino. Steve Geller along with Mike Dettillier. Now happy to welcome in Tulane sideline reporter Maddie Hudak. A big one coming up on Saturday at Navy, the Green Wave taking on the Midshipmen. How you doing, Maddie?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Looking at this matchup, before we get into all the nuts and bolts of it, want to say that Tulane's got a pretty good long snapper over there. Congrats on your brother.
Wait a minute now. Come on, Matty. That's you're crossing the line with all that. But, no, he does a great job, Matty. And you don't hear about him
right.
unless he screws it up.
Well, I mean, that's essentially the point. I really, anytime anyone talks about long snappers, if you haven't watched Bill Belichick's 10-minute answer on their importance, but you just look at games in which there's been an absence of one, and, yeah, it can definitely make the difference.
Matty, when you look at this game, I think, you know, the contrasting styles, because you rarely see a team that'll run this type of offense. There's maybe two or three. Maybe one more in college football today, but Navy's been known for it. Now, they throw the football a little bit better, only because I think Blake Horvath is a really good football player at the quarterback position. And talking to Coach Summerall during the week, Matty, he brought up the fact when I talked about getting off the field on third down, he's like, Mike, I agree with you, but really the critical down is first. To make sure that they don't have a second and five, because that sets up the third and one. And you know what they're going to do. And they sort of try to beat you up, physically kind of wind you down a little bit. It's an interesting game because you don't have a lot of sample size all season. You don't have a lot of days to prepare for a Navy team.
Yeah, you're right. And again, it's not just your average option team. It's one with a very operable quarterback. And like you said, they really try to get you on first down. That's where a lot of their explosive passes come from. You don't really expect a service academy to have, you know, that five plays in a game that are, you know, 158 passing yards. But that's kind of what you're facing against this team. And so really just having that mental discipline of this is going to be a team that the motion they're going to try to confuse and get guys out of place and out of assignment. And I think it was really important for Tulane last week against Temple. The quality of opponent, an entirely different story, but it's a very team effort on defense. We're 22 players at 35 total tackles. This is a week where you can't be the hero or the playmaker, because if you're really one moment out of your assignment, that's where those explosive plays come from for them, where they can wear you down, but they can also just kind of get down the field very quickly as well. And so making sure that the guy's mental focus is really there for this entire game. I know they've been preparing for this Navy matchup for quite a while, and also a secret weapon to me for them. It's not the same thing, but their scout quarterback, Dagan Bruno, he ran a split veer option offense at John Curtis High School. And talking with our safeties coach, he has to learn some new things, but he's been able to focus on the nuances and really test the defense in the scout team periods. To me, that really can be the difference maker this week.
Matty, one of the things you and I think we talked about it, I think it was a couple Fridays ago, we talked about the Navy offense and how well they could run the football, but Tulane's offense running the football and offensive line play, which has really been good this year, and you're dealing with the fact, too, you have a redshirt freshman who has never stepped on the field before, and so there's a little bit of clicking in the head at times when he makes that second and third read, but what Caius has done, unbelievable. But this offensive line, I think, is the unsung hero of this 2024 Green Wave football team.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought it to that way, because that was kind of where I was going to go with my answer as well. Is Mekhi Hughes, you know, he's gotten a lot of deserved accolades, but we're not having any of this conversation if the O-line hasn't been playing the way that they have. And that applies not just to the running game, but again, you have a redshirt freshman back there that, you know, he doesn't have the yips. He's not seeing ghosts. He's not reverting and turning into a pumpkin, because the O-line has been able to give him a pocket to get a chance to grow and develop. And, you know, just being on the sideline, nothing it is more impressive to me than just watching those guys on the line just throw everything they have into every single play, no matter the elements, and then have to really peel themselves off the floor. When you look at Josh Remetich on, you know, 4 days of rest, how he was able to just pancake multiple guys against Charlotte and completely dominated their opponent last weekend. I think just knowing that they have such a strong play on both sides in the trenches, I mean, Mike, we talk about that all the time, how much the trench really matters, but you've seen it on the offense, you've seen it on Tulane's defense, and it's the difference maker to me this year.
I think one of the things in this game, Tulane has to jump on them quickly and try to get them out of that element of just trying to pound away at you. And I think getting off to a quick start is a big key for the Green Wave against Navy.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think they really want to stick on their schedule, kind of like Tulane wants to stick on their own schedule. I think it's interesting. I think the offensive philosophies are kind of the same here, but the way they go about it. But you look at their Notre Dame game where they had to come from behind, and their team just kind of got rattled and fell apart, committing really poor turnovers. And it wasn't just by the quarterback. It was on special teams and everything like that. So I think you're right that this is kind of a race almost to rattle the opponent first and get them out of position, get them in a place where they're behind. And I think it's going to be interesting to see which explosive passing game really is able to get going first, because I think both teams are going to wear each other down with the run. To me, it might just be the difference on who can execute on those long passes. And it's hard to ignore that Blake Horvath did have some sort of thumb injury against Charlotte. The passing offense is still there, but it's not exactly the same. And I think any little edge that Tulane can get, especially with the way they've been able to get to the quarterback, because even if he can't run or throw, he runs, 60, 90-yard touchdowns down. So containing this quarterback and everything he can do, that really is the end-all be-all.
Maddie, when you look at it, all the turnovers that they've turned into touchdowns, because you don't get that every year. You've been doing this for a little while. You don't get a turnover and then they run it back or a scoop and score. That's been a part of this team defensively that they've really excelled at, getting some turnovers, but not only getting it if it's a pick six, running it in. And also on special teams, too, when we talked about your brother and the complex deal of the snapper and then the hold and the kick. But it's also the return game has been great for them. So the turnover margin and being able to run it in and also extra points on the return game, that's been a big plus for this team.
Oh, without question. I just think, all three phases of the game, you look back to week one where John Summerall called the kickoff coverage abysmal on postgame, and really how much they've been a difference maker. They forced turnovers, like you said. Will Carroll, I don't think gets enough credit because he often punts so seldomly in games, but you look back to that game against Rice, the field position he's been able to give the defense to be able to do their job. Just the way that every phase of this team has really complemented one another, where the offense has really, they're third in the nation in time of possession. They were second last week, but that gives your defense pretty much every chance they need to make it count when it matters. When you know you have to be out there for a little more than over a quarter, which has been the case in two matchups for Tulane, that really motivates a defense. And particularly when you're able to pin them with the punting and the kickoff coverage they've had, the fact that they have a true freshman that kicked in a game setting and has been doing kickoffs all year long, but then they had Patrick Durkin, who's been hurt all year, go out and kick this last weekend. It just goes to show how important they've really dedicated every phase of this game to. But the defense is able to score points off turnovers. The offense has also taken the turnovers that they haven't run back. They've been able to do some pretty special things there as well. The red zone issues that Tulane had last year have just been completely flipped on their head.
I got to admit, Maddie, I was worried about the state of the program when Willie Fritz ended up leaving. But man, oh man, what a hire with John Summerall coming in. Just wondering what you've seen out of him so far, maybe some of the similarities and difference from Coach Fritz. But one thing's for sure, right out the gate, Summerall had this team ready to go, which was awesome.
Yeah, it's so hard for me to compare them because of the situations I think both coaches were kind of walking into, what stage they were in, where this team was ready to go full gas, no brakes. And I think John Summerall was just the perfect guy to come in. And, we heard about his energy, but his energy, to me, is second only to his motivational ability. That was something I talked with Darian Mensa really about yesterday. You hear, all these mantras that they have every single week. And I kind of think about the 1-0 last year and just the difference that it makes of kind of giving each opponent its own mantra, its own value. And I think that's really where you've seen Tulane not have any issues with respect to trap games or anything like that. It's just his motivation tactic. And Darian said it, when he talks, people listen. And it's really true. He's just so commanding and has such a finger on the pulse of really the psychology of a team. And I think that's super important, especially when you look back to, like you said, this time in December where it kind of felt like the sky was falling almost with Tulane, to have a coach come in and be able to really patch all of those holes up that, they were wounds at this time when they went to Annapolis, ironically, the last time for the Military Bowl. It also stuck out to me that John Summerall and his staff made that trip and really made their presence be known for these guys. And I think that really made a difference. And I think that sideline catch in Charlotte just said it all about how much this team really, it's not just, they're behind and fit and respect. They love their head coach.
Maddie, one of the things before we let you go is I think for Tulane, attack Navy's corners. Try to get the ball deep downfield because, okay, the Navy corners, they're not used to seeing this type speed. of what Tulane has on the edges. And hopefully, you know, with Mr. Preston back in the lineup, and he made the big play last week for a touchdown. I was glad to see he could come back in. What Mario Williams has done all across the board, the receiving core, I got to test those Navy corners early. And even if I don't hit it, I'm going to back those corners and safeties up that you don't jam the line of scrimmage trying to stop Mekhi Hughes.
Yeah, exactly, and especially thinking about the you know, they run a lot of zero blitz, and so when you have your shots, you have to take them. And I think that, like you said, it's devastating speed between Mario Williams, Yolkeith Brown, and Dante Fleming too. Just what they're able to do with, you know, jet motion sweeps and things like that, where you're really able to pull them off because the speed just stretches the field so much, and it's the vertical and lateral stretching with these receivers that I've really enjoyed watching. But yeah, your point, Shaz Preston, the reason that everyone was so excited about him in spring, he came in and just kind of looked like a hybrid tight end wide receiver almost, just not the usual size that you're used to, and Tulane does kind of have, you know, a smaller, faster receiving corps this year, so he brings a really big size mismatch, I think, but also establishing Alex Bauman again as a red zone threat in that last game is really important to me. But like you said, I agree. That's probably the most vulnerable area to test out. And the thing about Darian Mensah is he showed that he's not scared of the moment, that he's willing to take those shots, even if they, you know, sometimes they end up turning the ball over. He's done a really great job with protecting the football, and I think balancing that with being a playmaker.
Tulane Insider, Island Reporter, also host of Before the Whistle podcast. Appreciate you dropping some football knowledge on us, Maddie. Have a good one.
Thank you, Maddie. You appreciate do a great job.
Thank you, guys. I always love coming on. Thank you, and roll wave.
All righty.
Roll wave. Yes, indeed. It's a big matchup. Check it out. 11 a.m. kickoff on Saturday. I kind of like those, Mike. You got to wake up, have a little breakfast, and catch some ball.
Man, I'm going to be up way earlier than that. I got a 10
o'clock. Well, that's why I said you have some. Oh, you got to write.
Yeah, I got a 10 o'clock early. We 10 to 12:30 Saturday in the preview because LSU plays Florida.
Right. It's a 2:30 kickoff for the Tigers, right?
Yeah, so we 10 to 12:30, and me and Herb Tyler at Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge.
You'll be busy watching that on your phone, all the updates on Tulane, or the TV screens, obviously, at Acme.
Oh, I get there early. They got all the TV screens.
Yeah, there you go, right. We are taking a break here at the Treasure Chest Casino. We'll be back with more of Sports Talk. Stay tuned right after this on WWL. Closing out a first hour of Sports Talk here at the Treasure Chest Casino. Coming up next hour, going to get into a little boxing talk as we've got the big matchup on Netflix coming up on Friday between Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. Definitely interested to see that. Plus, we got Pick 6 coming out after that. In the 6 o'clock hour, we'll get into some Cleveland Browns information with Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com, finding out how the Jameis Winston era is going on for the Brownies. We'll be back right after the break at the top of the hour news, so stay tuned at the Treasure Chest Casino inside the Game Bar and Grill right here on WWL. Who dat?
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.